This is Barbara Glickstein with HealthCetera. Health literacy affects everyone. It's a universal problem. I don't tell a new health provider for myself or when my children were young that I'm a registered nurse. In my healthcare encounters, I want to be in relationship with the provider as an adult woman or back then as a parent. Talk with me as if I don't have a health background so I can understand. I am not the only registered nurse who I know who does this. The point is that health literacy is important for everyone at every point of contact in a health system and beyond that in our communities. Carla Stanley is a certified registered nurse consultant. She has over 30 years of clinical expertise in the acute critical care setting, and she's currently enrolled at UCSF working on her doctorate in nursing practice, who's joined HealthCetera today to help us unpack what is health literacy from an individual and system organizational level, and what can we do about it to better improve the healthcare we receive as individuals and for our families. Welcome to HealthCetera, Carla Stanley.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me, Ms. Glickstein. I'm excited to be here.
Well, thank you. I'm going to start with a quote by Dr. Rochelle Walensky, who's the current director at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And she said, quote, "Health literacy strategies advance health equity, offering guidance to the public in clear, understandable, and digestible ways saves lives, especially during moments of crisis like our current pandemic." So why don't we let you help us understand, Carla, what is health literacy? What is it that we say those two words? What does it really mean so our listeners understand it?
So you raised a really great conversation so far when you talked about clear, digestible, and understanding ways to communicate. And that's really important because what you'll hear me say throughout this conversation is healthcare literacy is all about communication. So in the U.S., approximately 80%, let me say that again, approximately 80% of our citizens have healthcare literacy. And that's based on information that comes from the IHI, the Institute for Healthcare Improvement. So these are not strangers, this 80%. These are our family members. They're our parents. They're us. They're our children, our coworkers, and they struggle with healthcare literacy. It's important because healthcare literacy needs to have a good flow of communication, that the information given to our friends and family and the information received is understandable and that they are able to act on that information. But in the absence of clear, digestible information and communication, then what results is poor healthcare outcomes. And that's what we're seeing in this country. And how do I know that? Because in the US, each and every year, we spend $3.5 trillion on healthcare. Yet we have the worst morbidity and mortality outcomes of all developing countries. We spend the most, but our outcomes are the worst. And why is that? Healthcare literacy is a huge part of that.
I'm glad you repeat that. You repeated that number. It's almost hard to process that level of people in our country, and probably globally it's reflected, if not higher, or maybe it's better because there are a lot of countries that have much better health outcomes than we do, as you mentioned, Carla. But it is staggering, and it is staggering that in my years as a nurse and in my limited years doing clinical work, that too often the system focused on the users, the patients, the families, the community, as not as being the problem, if you will, that it rested on our shoulders that we were, you know, I'll say it, I hate this word, non-compliant, that we didn't understand what they were trying to teach us. And yet the system is also very, very much involved in this. So why do we have this health literacy problem? What are some of the factors then in your scholarship and research and also commitment? I know I've read about your work in communities, certainly during these years of the COVID pandemic, you've been actively engaged in helping others understand why vaccination was important. So why do we have such a high level of health literacy problem?
Well, a lot of that goes back to what our workforce looks like. I have been a registered nurse for over 30 years, and I'll tell you, unfortunately, we have only about, meaning we as Black nurses, there are approximately only 5% of us. And there are other minority clinicians that are equally as low, but Black nurses are the lowest. So what we're struggling with, again, in this country is workforce diversity. And why is that going to be a problem? Because by the year of 2024, the research is showing 50% of this population or the people in our country will identify as racially or ethnically different. So there'll be a diverse culture in this country. Yet only 20% of us will be nurses and less than 5% of us will be Black nurses. And I can cross the span of whether that's physicians or social workers, but we are not going to be able to keep up with the diversity that's happening in this country. That will be equally important because we need to have workers that look like the communities in which they serve, that they understand the needs, that they know the traditions, that they speak the language, that they understand the challenges they face and how to get them from point A to point B. We're not seeing that. And it's for many reasons. It's regulatory reasons. It's systematic. We've seen it in academia. But what we need to do is ensure that we create a workforce, that we shore up our workforce, and that we have diverse clinicians working in healthcare. Those are the things that are going to improve the healthcare outcomes of our population. If we don't, it will become cyclical, Barbara. We'll continue with this $3.5 trillion each and every year, and our outcomes won't be representative of the amount of money that we're spending. Other countries are making us look bad on this one. So that will be important.
And Carla, I know that you're speaking about this workforce issue and diverse and lack of diversity issue based on years and years of research that our listeners may want to understand better of what does it mean to a person of color, a Black person, a Black parent with Black children, seeing a Black pediatrician or a Black nephrologist for their kidney health that goes beyond it just being, if you will, really nice to see someone who looks like me. What do we know from the data about the critical importance of the diversity of the workforce in healthcare and the positive results and outcomes that result as for all the reasons that you've stated so far?
So recently I attended, I attended the American College of Healthcare Executives 2023 Congress on Healthcare, where thousands of leaders from all different countries attend this awesome event. And again, in every setting, what we're hearing is what disparity looks like, health inequity looks like, and healthcare outcomes. There is a lot of data right now. Let's just take, for example, the disparity that we're seeing and the mortality and morbidity among Black mothers. There is an increase of the death and dying of newborn infants when they are Black mothers. And so why is that? We're doing well in other areas of childcare and delivering babies and providing care to mothers who are expecting. But unfortunately, that is not reaching the Black mother. So the morbidity and mortality rate is skyrocketing. And it's not getting any better. It's getting worse. I am a product of that. My daughter was born weighing 2 pounds, 4 ounces, and I was able to have health care, but I had a physician that wasn't representative of my culture. So I didn't know always when I should come. I was never told that I was a high-risk mother. After that, I wasn't encouraged to breastfeed. And so my daughter spent 39 days in a NICU while I was extremely sick after her delivery. Now, mine is a happy ending. She's a mom today. She has all 10 fingers and toes, and everything went well. But unfortunately, that is not the story of every Black mom. And so to be able to see a clinician that looks like you, that can tell you about the salt in your diet or transportation or programs that exist, such as WIC, or making sure that you get your vitamins, can you afford your vitamins? That is what's missing. And we need that. And having a diverse workforce will help us do that.
And in your description, and thank goodness you're well and your daughter is healthy and your grandmother, and she has healthy children as well. As you said, you were fortunate that you had access to healthcare. Even with that, there were these traumas and lack of ways to help you be better readied and prepared. And certainly parents face that. I think in addition to what you've given as your own personal example, we know that parents, if they don't have the health literacy to navigate, whether it's a well child visit or an acute visit or hospitalizations, that they can't do well for their child, which is what every parent wants. Every parent wants to do well for their child. So the importance of health literacy starts at pregnancy, birth, delivery, and beyond, right to the grave. So we see it along the lifespan. And if I can, I'd like to shift a little bit into this idea now that we're moving so much into digital spaces, right? We have questions of access to broadband. We have access to affordable devices, where their idea of health apps and portals into your health record and making appointments and never being able to speak to a human being in some instances is added. Well, I'm going to ask you, has it added a burden to our ability to decrease the health literacy issues in our country?
So that's going to be a hybrid answer. In some places, yes, in some places, no. The reason I say that is because when you think about the elderly population, we can't assume and we shouldn't assume that they all have cell phones. Now, yes, have we moved up digitally? And does most households, and I don't know, you know, I'm not the expert on that, so I don't know statistically how many households, but I do know as a nurse coming up in the ranks as a home health nurse at one time and hospice, they don't all use that form or method of communication. And so being able to send them an alert that you're scheduled for your appointment or that your vaccine is due today, that we may be missing a segment of the population. And so while we should definitely work on all the digital processes that we can, we should improve that. It doesn't escape the individual clinician being able to speak to and see individuals. And I'll give you an example of that. I am called probably every single day from friends and family and coworkers who have healthcare issues. And even though they are seeing providers many times, they're seeing physical therapists and urologists and neurologists. They've been in the ER. They've been hospitalized. They've been discharged. Even though they've seen all of those people at some point prior to talking to me, they still experience health literacy. Why? Because when they're discharged and they're given an order, nobody explains to them how important it is for that follow-up. Or as the director of emergency and trauma services in my career, we would discharge people. And one of the metrics that was extremely important was the readmission rate, which means if you're back within 30 days, it means maybe we missed something that we could have improved, that you shouldn't have been admitted so soon after your previous discharge. So it's important that we make discharge calls, that we follow up. But when we give you information and you don't understand it because of health literacy, and you leave the hospital and you don't follow up with your doctor within 7 to 14 days, and you don't pick up your prescription, or you don't let the home healthcare nurse come in, or you don't get that telehealth visit because you didn't have the digital requirement to make that happen, then that person, health literacy starts to rear its ugly head and the outcomes become poor and you don't follow up. And then it's cyclical and you wind back into the acute critical care setting. And that's where we're seeing it. This is happening every day with our loved ones in every neighborhood, in every house. And even if you're healthy, you probably are taking care of someone or know of someone. And back to your point, they don't all get the digital component. Everybody's not digitalized in this country. And we need to be able to get to those individuals because pretty much that is the vulnerable population that we are not reaching.
Yes, I recently read of a new type of staff person, and it was inside the setting of clinical environments. And they're calling, at least in this one system, digital access coordinators who are from the community, representative of the different cultures, ethnicities, and races of their population, who are not, in the article it said, we're not the geek squad, you know, referring to the company that comes in to fix your technology issues, but they're in the waiting room and they recognize that they're asking and support and providing support for those who in those encounters that demand access to a portal, going on an app to register their diabetes information. And the hospital is hiring people from the community with a high school diploma who they're training. They see it as another level of healthcare employment that we need to support this health literacy in the digital space. So let's hear from you about some suggestions that you think our listeners can do on their own behalf. And again, the problem is not just on you, individuals and families, where there's system issues that have to happen. But are there some tips that you can share, Carla, in our few minutes left that would address what individuals could do on behalf of their own health and their families?
Well, I'd like to see individuals who can help advocate for those that are not able to advocate for themselves. For example, you talked about the geek squad basically being in the emergency room or waiting rooms and helping with their, you know, their iPads or their cell phones. But it goes even deeper than that. If I don't have healthcare literacy and I don't understand those components, then I'm not going to use those apps or those services. So what it requires is we need to have more people to improve healthcare literacy. And those are people like me, right? We need to have individuals who will be able to share with the families and friends and coworkers when they come back from those appointments, when they leave those emergency rooms or those hospital admissions, and they go home and in the privacy of their home, they lay those pieces of paper on the table, never to lift them up again. And so there needs to be a portal, a phone number, a space for them to be able to pick up the phone and call someone and just repeat what you know. And sometimes it's not very much. I have a prescription here. It says for a chest x-ray. I don't know where to get that, when I should get it. I don't have a car. I'm 80 years old. I can't move around a lot. I'm on a fixed income. That's what happens. So we need to be able to identify more advocates, whether they be nurse navigators or coordinators, like myself in the form of consultants. We do need to identify those people. We use churches a lot, and that'll be important because especially in the Black community, the church is central to your health and welfare. And so it is our ministers and our pastors and our mothers in the church and all of those individuals who help bring the community together and help to identify these nurse navigators, coordinators, healthcare consultants, clinicians. Again, those would be individuals who can just sometimes just sit at a table in the lobby as people file by and ask questions or raise concerns about their health care, because oftentimes they're too embarrassed to tell you, I don't know what I don't know. Another thing we need to do is to help eliminate disparity. Again, increase workforce diversity. And as we have more people, whether they be, Indian or Filipino or African-American or Samoan, it doesn't matter. We need to improve workforce diversity, because when we put those individuals out into the community, then there are more resources to pull from. That's important because the end result is to improve health equity and health outcomes. And at the same time, those individuals can help improve health literacy. But if we're not hiring them, if we're not admitting them onto our college campuses, if we're not letting them sit at our board tables, then we are missing the boat and we will continue to be cyclical. And we want to establish environments that promote good health. And I shared those and what that will continue to look like. If you're really wanting to promote good health, you will have workforce diversity wherever patients are being touched. And our laws and our regulatory compliance will be important, because we need laws to help change a lot of the practices that we're seeing in this country. And that is something near and dear to me, because as a fellow with the American Nurses Association of California, we are working on policy and advocacy looking at disparity in healthcare. And so that work will continue to support this initiative as well.
Carla Stanley is a certified registered nurse consultant, clinical expert with over 30 years in the acute critical care setting. She is currently enrolled at UCSF working on her doctorate in nursing practice. Thank you for bringing in the community, the workforce issues, and your expertise on health literacy. I have to have you back in the future to continue this conversation. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much, Barbara. It's been a pleasure talking about such a wonderful topic with such a wonderful individual such as yourself. I look forward to more conversation.
Thank you.